Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church on our weekly podcast, Today's Word. We're continuing our study of Joseph, the son of Jacob, and today we're talking about a strange dinner. Genesis 43:1-34. The famine in Canaan got worse until finally Jacob's family had eaten all the grain they bought in Egypt. So Jacob said to his sons, "Go back and buy some more grain." Judah replied, "The governor strictly warned us that we would not be allowed to see him unless we brought our youngest brother with us. If you let us take Benjamin along, we will go and buy grain, but we won't go without him." Jacob asks, "Why did you cause me so much trouble by telling the governor you had another brother?" They answered, "He asked a lot of questions about us and our family. He wanted to know if you were still alive and if we had any more brothers. All we could do was answer his questions. How could we know he would tell us to bring along our brother?" Then Judah said to his father, "Let Benjamin go with me, and we will leave at once so that none of us will starve to death. I promise to bring him back safely, and if I don't, you can blame me as long as I live. If we had not wasted all this time, we could already be there and back twice." Their father said, "If Benjamin must go with you, take the governor a gift of some of the best things from our own country, such as perfume, honey, spices, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Also take along twice the amount of money for the grain, because there must have been some mistake when the money was put back in your sacks. Take Benjamin with you and leave at once. When you go to see the governor, I pray that God All-Powerful will be good to you and that the governor will let your other brother and Benjamin come home, back home with you. But if I must lose my children, I suppose I must." The brothers took the gifts, twice the amount of money, and Benjamin. Then they hurried off to Egypt. When they stood in front of Joseph, he saw Benjamin and told the servant in charge of his house, "Take these men to my house. Slaughter an animal and cook it so they can eat with me at noon." The servant did as he was told and took the brothers to Joseph's house. But on the way, they got worried and started thinking, "We are being taken there because of the money that was put back in our sacks last time. He will arrest us, make us his slaves, and take our donkeys." So when they arrived at Joseph's house, they said to the servant in charge, "Sir, we came to Egypt once before to buy grain, but when we stopped for the night, we each found in our grain sacks the exact amount we had paid. We have brought that money back, together with enough money to buy more grain. We don't know who put the money in our sacks." "It's all right," the servant replied. "Don't worry. The God you and your father worship must have put the money there, because I received your payment in full." Then he brought Simeon out to them. The servant took them into Joseph's house and gave them water to wash their feet. He also tended their donkeys. The brothers got their gifts ready to give to Joseph at noon, since they had heard they were going to eat there. When Joseph came home, they gave him the gifts they had brought, and they bowed down to him. After Joseph had asked how they were, he said, "What about your elderly father? Is he still alive?" They answered, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And again, they bowed down to Joseph. When Joseph looked around and saw his brother Benjamin, he said, "This must be your younger brother, the one you told me about. God bless you, my son." Then, because of his love for Benjamin, he rushed off to his room and cried. After washing his face, he returned. He was able to control himself and said, "Serve the meal." Joseph was served at a table by himself, and his brothers were served at another. The Egyptians sat at yet another table because Egyptians felt it was disgusting to eat with Hebrews. To the surprise of Joseph's brothers, they were seated in front of him according to their ages, from oldest to the youngest. They were served food from Joseph's table, and Benjamin was given five times as much as each of the others. So Joseph's brothers ate and drank with him and had a good time. So have you ever taken a crazy risk, done something that scared you to death? Water skied, for example, or entered a triathlon or marathon? Tried out for the show Jeopardy, or joined a debate club, gone on a job interview that if you got the job would really stretch your abilities to the limit. gotten up and moved halfway around the country to work at a company that you really weren't sure would be a good fit or to be with a girlfriend or a boyfriend? Have you taken your child to a new school, not sure how they would fit in, and in fact, how you and your family would fit in? We all at times take risks. I mean, have you ever eaten sushi? There are, of course, big risks, buying a house, and small risks, learning Spanish. We take the risks because we believe the benefits outweigh the risk, sometimes because it all sounds thrilling, and sometimes because not taking the risk is really not an option. And sometimes we take risks because we are confident that God's got us. But risk it is, and things could go wrong. Of course, for most of us, the risks are nothing like the risks Joseph's brothers were about to undertake. They were going on a journey back to Egypt again from Canaan. And if perhaps you haven't kept up with the story, you can watch our past services on our website and app, or listen to just the sermon, or read them at www.otisvillepress.org/worship. It turns out that after all the trouble they had when they first went to Egypt and encountered their brother Joseph, well disguised as an Egyptian leader, who accused them of being spies, they had to go again. They were out of food. 7 years of drought had completely destroyed the crops, not only in Egypt, but also in Canaan, 200 miles away. And because they had found money in the sacks of grain they had brought back from Egypt, they were now going to take twice as much money to pay for what they had been given the first time and what they needed to buy. And they had to take Benjamin, their youngest brother. This all was terrifying and without a doubt was nuts. It made no sense. This was a journey destined to not only end with Simeon still in prison, but all of them as well, even Benjamin. There was only one thing they had not considered, and it was what the patriarch Jacob said before they left. When you go in to see the governor, I pray that God all-powerful will be good to you, and that the governor will let your other brother and Benjamin come back home with you. But if I must lose children, I suppose I must. It's not exactly a great statement of faith, not a clear affirmation that Jacob knew what God's plan had for him, that God had literally planned out his future. But if we've learned anything from the story of Joseph, it is that God has got us, that El Shaddai, the Almighty God, is not far away and not uninterested in us and our circumstances, but is always, in all circumstances, with us all the time. And while Joseph's brothers might not be sure of that, nor Jacob, it seems, Joseph was sure. He had experience after experience to prove that God was with him always and everywhere. And God is with us too. Which is why we can, in faith, follow as God leads. Which is why we can put our trust in the one God sent us, Jesus, who reminds us that he will be with us till the end of time, and who, knowing us so well, sent the Holy Spirit to bolster our feeble faith. Which is why we really hope to hear Reuben or Judah say in faith, "Get those donkeys and let's go. God has made a way where there is no way. We will see that Egyptian ruler and we will pay for the grain we have now and the grain we need to buy. And he will see Benjamin and know we are no spies. And Simeon will be safe and somehow it will all work because God has got us." We want them to have that kind of faith because it's the kind of faith we want to have. But instead, they, like us most of the time, take risks with trepidation because our faith is, well, perhaps, in need of some bolstering. A shot of faith in the arm is needed. We need to do risky things, stepping out in faith, because we figured out that you can't learn to walk in faith if you won't put one foot in front of the other, open the door, and get going. And look at what happened. The strangest feast ever. First off, when they arrived at Joseph's house, they said to the servant in charge, "Sir, we came to Egypt once before to buy grain, but when we stopped for the night, we each found our grain sacks, in our grain sacks, the exact amount we had paid. We brought back that money together with enough to buy more grain. We don't know who put the money in our sacks." To which the servant replied, "It's all right, don't worry. The God you and your father worship must have put the money there, because I received your payment in full." Then he brought Simeon out to them. What? God has got you. Even Joseph's servant knows. And then while Joseph's brothers offer gifts, Joseph treats them as honored guests, all while the Egyptians want nothing to do with them. You know, God has promised a feast at the Father's table at the end of time for us, the brothers and sisters of Jesus. There will be there all those who have lived this life in faith, including you and I, a day of great celebration, and all because God's got us. So live life to the fullest as the children of the Most High God. Take risks. Live like life to its fullest, because a feast awaits. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us for this sermon today. If you have any questions, feel free to contact us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or check out our website at www.otisvillepress.org.